We'll enter the classroom for this week's rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm the new kid on the block, Scott Pettinger, N9ALY, with this rain report. Somewhere along the way, each of us can remember teachers who simply went through the motions in their day-to-day class instruction. But how many of you can remember a school teacher challenging his or her students to build some sort of electronic kit? One ham, well-schooled in classroom kit building, is Lincoln, Nebraska resident Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, whom you heard last month passing along tips for successful kit building at home. Here's an excerpt from another talk he gave at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention about introducing kit building into the classroom.
First off, kit building teaches skills, and these are valuable skills. You learn how to put things together and create new devices. You can repair electronic devices after you've learned how to put them together and take them apart. It gives them a little familiarity of what goes into popular electronic devices. After all, you know, to them, an iPod's a little thing that they just turn on, but now they get a kind of an idea what's inside there. They can learn things like soldering, direction finding, component identification, simple electronics, and it really translates directly into marketable job skills. And this is the way you kind of sell this to your school, and that is that you're teaching them a skill that in one class they've learned how to solder, they've learned how to identify electronic parts and put things together. There are still lots of companies that make electronic devices, and so that gives them a skill. They can say, hey, yeah, I know how to solder. Well, that's more than 90% of the people. A lot of people don't know how to do that. Kit builds are good for the classroom. They're good for scout groups, after-school youth groups, all sorts of things like that. And it's a lot of fun, and you can use the kit to do actually more than one thing at the same time. My philosophy on this, especially for classroom work, is that kit building adds to the pool of people that are available that can perform technical jobs. So that can add to job growth. It gives more skills to the labor pool. You got to make the kit fit the situation. You're not going to sit down a little kid in front of a transceiver kit, you know, that takes 20 hours to build. So you want to choose a kit that doesn't take too long, so it doesn't go over a one-hour class period or a series of two or three class periods. So you want to also make something that doesn't take a lot of test equipment to align it and that sort of thing, so it's not too complex. Make them something that they can take home. They can show their parents, I made this in school, and it wasn't expensive or anything, and it's a lot of fun. So then their parents get involved saying, you know, I had kind of an interest in ham radio and stuff like that years ago, and it's kind of cool. And sometimes you can get whole families involved that way. So you kind of select the item based on how useful it might be for classroom goals or creating an interest in subject matter like science and geography and meteorology, and use it to lead them on to more complex kits or concepts. Things like, what is inside an iPod? What is inside your TV set? How does TV signals get to your house? Things like that. So some things that'd be nice to have in a classroom include a good soldering station. If you're only working with one or two students, if you're working with several, have plenty of small but good quality, inexpensive soldering irons and stands, and get the right kind of solder. Don't use the stuff that's real thick. Use thinner stuff. It makes a lot better connections. Some needle nose pliers and flush cutters and desoldering tools. A lot of kits run on batteries, so make sure you got plenty of batteries that are needed. Extra lighting or magnification in case people have trouble seeing the parts and able to inspect their circuit boards. A random wire stuck out the window is great for testing receivers. And you got to have some kind of bins or boxes to keep your parts secure in between the kit building sessions. And the reason is, like Carol had, you may have several different classes that use the same room. So a lot of times if the kit is small enough, you can use these little bowls that you can buy at Walmart that come like 10 for $5. They're little food storage bowls, and they're wonderful. You can take a little piece of tape and put their name on or a sticky note, and then you can reuse those. They're very inexpensive and work great for holding kits. Some kit ideas for the classroom. Here's two kits that I have seen here with my very own eyes today. The top one is from QRPKits.com. It sells for, I think, around $17, $18. It is a simple Morse code oscillator. Comes with the battery and everything. Runs on a little coin cell. It's pretty slick. very easy to put together and can be done in one classroom period. As long as they've been trained in soldering and stuff before, you can kind of give them a demo and give them an idea of what they need to do, and then have the actual build itself. You can easily get that done in an hour. Same thing goes for the one below it, which is available right over here in the Ball Arena at the ARL booth. In fact, you can build one right now. They have them in their project building area, which is very popular. The ARL one is a little more expensive, but I think both the ARL and QRPKits.com offer discounts when you buy these in bulk. These are very worthwhile little kits. This is a little code oscillator. They can find out what the code's like. They can make something. Now, not all kids, you know, sometimes people say that Morse code is kind of passe, but you never know. It might catch them. So we have another kit here, and it's also available here at Hamvention in booth 331 in the Silver Arena. And what this is it's a crystal set. Now, everybody thinks of a crystal set, something with a big coil they wrapped around an oatmeal box and things like that. This one uses pre-wound choke coils and kind of a screw trimmer to do the tuning, and actually it works quite well. This particular kit does require some soldering, but a lot of it is also put together with just screws and nuts. I would say the amount of soldering on there is very little. I think there's about 6 or 7 connections you make soldering, and the rest is put together with screws and nuts. And then it comes with a little earphone, and then you got to find a wire for the antenna and a ground wire. There's no coils to wind, easily done in less than an hour. And they can take that home and listen to AM broadcast stations with that little crystal set with no batteries. And what you can teach them about is how you get sound over the radio and how much energy these radio stations are actually putting out, because it's so much energy that you can hear the sound in the earphone without any batteries. Crystal sets use the actual RF in the air, detect that audio, and that's what you're hearing. There is no amplification, no batteries needed, and that's kind of a cute little kit they can put together in about an hour.
You're listening to an excerpt from Ham Radio Instructors Forum held at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention, featuring kit building guru Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB. We'll conclude Joe's talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available on your iPhone via iTunes.
There are simple radios. This is another one. It's sold by Tentec, and it's also sold through the ARRL. It's more of a lengthy one. If you have a shop class, this is kind of about a 2.5 hour or so kit. So if you have a longer period for a shop class, or you want to do it over a multiple day period, or do it with a scout troop, you can use multiple meetings to do that if they only have an hour at a time. I know kids are busy with soccer and football and baseball and things like that. So you can kind of do this on the installment plan, but this one still doesn't have very many components. Most of that circuit board is empty. There are lots of parts, though, to put in, but it's not difficult. I would say a first-time builder, 2.5 hours on this one. But it's a general coverage shortwave receiver, so they can hear shortwave broadcasts, WWV, hams on sideband and CW. It's regenerative, so it kind of makes squealing noises until you get it tuned in right. But once they learn how to do it, it's a lot of fun, and it receives a wide range of our bands. This, the Velleman FM radio kit, is available at most Radio Shack stores. I bought this one at the Lincoln Radio Shack store. So most Radio Shack stores carry this kit. It's around $28, $29, something like that. It's an FM broadcast receiver. And its advantage is it's got a wide availability. I'd say maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to put this together. A simple DF kit, and I didn't put it on the slide, but it's available at Handy Finder. That is handi-finder.com. What you're going to see is the segment from the DIY Magic of Amateur Radio I filmed out in Escondido, California, and how we use the kit to for a radio club, people of all ages, and they did DFing too. And then you have 1K resistors, which are brown, black, and red.
Making things is one of the joys of being a ham radio operator. This group at the Escondido, California Radio Club is building radio direction finders used to locate hidden transmitters as a sport or to find lost victims in emergencies.
Your antenna will be the last thing that we assemble, and that will go to the outside screw terminals.
and it's the difference between the signal going to each antenna is how we find out which way the signal is coming from.
The club is one of over 7,000 active ham radio clubs in the U.S. Many ham radio clubs are affiliated with ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. Radio clubs are the in-person aspect of the hobby.
Hold it up high so that your body doesn't affect it.
They're similar to hacker groups, but with a communications attitude.
So that's what we did in California. It was a lot of fun. I'd actually prearranged that about 3 months before. And then about 2 weeks before, I got a call from Bill Pasternak, who is from Amateur Radio Newsline, and he told me about this movie he was making. And he said, sometime we've got to get you out to California and we'll film you doing that. And I said, how about in 2 weeks? And he said, where? And I said, Escondido. And he said, oh, that's only 2.5 hours away. So quickly got arranged, and now their club is famous. Here's a simple setup. A cookie sheet protects the tabletop. You can get disposable cookie sheets at Walmart. You can get simple tools at Harbor Freight and get a meter for less than $3. A few hints. Make sure that you don't leave blobs on it, and use as small a tip and small a solder as possible so they learn how to do it. It's not hard at all. Kids will love learning the new skill. Make sure that there's no distractions. Read the manual and use a cookie sheet so the parts don't roll off the table. And make sure you have all the other parts available and extra spare parts in case one of the kits is missing one. Keep it clean. Make sure it's lit up well enough they can read the resistors. Take your time and enjoy the fun.
Veteran kit builder Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, passing along some useful how-tos for introducing kit building into the classroom. Excerpted from his 2012 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 to 2013 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with these Rain Reports, I'm Scott Pettinger, N9ALY, bidding you very 7-3 from all of us at the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.